a rise in cases of the coronavirus variant dominant in India could pose a serious disruption to Britain's reopening plans. Prime Minister Boris Johnson has warned, and amidst concerns over this rapidly transmissible variant from India, UK's Prime Minister Boris Johnson has reduced the gap between two doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine from 12 to 8 weeks for those above the age of 50. Well, joining us now tonight on the Left, Right and Centre is Professor Peter Piot. He's the director of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Peter Piot needs no introduction. He's one of the discoverers of the Ebola virus in 1976. He has spent his career fighting infectious diseases. He's currently a coronavirus advisor to the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. Professor Piot, thank you so much for your time tonight. England, where you are, is preparing to majorly ease up on restrictions from Monday. But now the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, is saying that he's anxious about a rise in the UK of this coronavirus variant that has been first identified in India. This variant is becoming more prevalent ahead of this next big easing of lockdown restrictions. How worrying is this?
Well, indeed, Sarah, it is true that the evolution of the epidemic here is gone into the right direction compared to January, when the mortality and so was as bad as and even worse than what you have in India at the moment. And we have now over 50% of adults who are vaccinated, at least with one injection. So it's really good development. However, you know, what's going on here illustrates that we can never be complacent. And certainly, it's far too early to declare victory. Just as the so-called British variant, B117, is very common in parts of India, we now have in some pockets in England, particularly around Manchester, Bolton, and so, we have now rapidly growing infections with this variant, B16172. And that's very worrisome, and particularly since it looks like the variant is more transmissible. However, you know, the way to handle this is to have very targeted, lots of testing, and also redoubling vaccination efforts in those populations that are most vulnerable. But it's we had here a perfect storm, just like you had, you know, with, on the one hand, just before Christmas, behaviors, mass gatherings, people partying pre-Christmas, and then a new variant. And so no time for complacency. That's the big message here.
All right. And Professor, what as the world watches and reads about India and what we're going through right now, in the middle of this pandemic, there is a humanitarian crisis arising from this pandemic. There's going to be inequality of vaccine distribution, and that could divide the world along a new bias, a new, you know, splitting of the world among haves and have-nots. Globally, what response does India need to see from the world? Because the world is a global world right now, given our size, given our population, given the nature of vaccines, simply that if everyone doesn't have one, the virus by default is still infectious and it continues to make more variants.
Well, it's definitely true that this pandemic will not be over until it's over everywhere. Yes. So it's in the interest of every country that all other countries are, you know, bringing this epidemic under control. And we are indeed already in a world of high inequality in terms of vaccine coverage, which is not only important in terms of saving lives, but also to save economies. Countries that will have high vaccine coverage will, you know, be able to relaunch the economy and so on. So what can be done? First of all, I should say that each country, and certainly India, a vast country, it's only Indians who can solve the problem and bring it under control. However, the least the world could do is, for example, that India, which is the largest producer of vaccines in the world in general, that there are no export restrictions. I mean, we had the news from the US to say that they're lifting, you know, patents on vaccines. I think that is not so relevant at all. What would be been far more helpful is that there was a lift on the ban of exporting raw materials, ingredients, plastics, and so on, that Indian manufacturers of vaccines desperately need to produce enough vaccines. And so that is really what I see as a top priority. And I think that vaccinating, as we just heard, as many people as possible should be absolutely the top priority, in addition to caring for people with, with oxygen, remdesivir and other drugs. So vaccinate dense urban populations and get as many people a first injection as possible, because that's going to provide at least a decent protection.
So basically, and given the fact that we are the world's largest manufacturer of vaccines, it is in the world's interest that India overcomes the second wave right now, because then we will be able to do that, play that role of producing vaccines for the entire world. Is that correct? Is that what I understood?
Absolutely. So this is in the interest of India in the first place, of course, to save the citizens. And also because you're such a vast country, but it's in the interest of the world, because if India can't produce enough vaccines to export, continents like Africa won't have any vaccines. The bedrock of vaccines for COVAX, which is an initiative by Gavi and CEPI that to provide vaccines to low-income countries, depends really on Indian manufacturers. So right. I think the lesson is also that we've learned now over and over again is don't declare victory too early. I just heard that the possible good news that there is a decline in new infections, but one that has to be confirmed. And we all know that the official figures are a gross underestimate. And that's not just the case in India, because not everybody is tested who has it. And not every death is recorded. But also, if you relax too early, as was the case in India, as we've done in the UK, as happened in the US, and so on, means that we're in for trouble with deaths, millions of deaths as a consequence. So continue the vaccination efforts, speed up vaccination manufacturing, but also make sure that, the so-called non-pharmaceutical interventions, wearing masks, distancing, and so on, that they're also fully respected.
All right. So the takeaways are vaccinate, and we're all in this together globally. Lastly, Professor, what are the lessons India can learn from the global experience, from England's experience, let's say, because you've just emerged triumphant from the second wave?
Yeah, the first lesson is indeed that don't take anything for granted. When you see even the slightest rise of infections, you have to act. Don't wait to act until people are dying, when the hospitals are full, when intensive care units can no longer see and receive the people that need intensive care. So act early. No time to lose is really a slogan, I would say, and no complacent. And then also, the fact that India, as the largest vaccine producer in the world, has one of the lowest vaccination rates. That's something that is beyond my comprehension, and that should be also a top priority now for the whole world. But all that requires very strong leadership at all levels. I've been many times to India, and every time I'm impressed how big the country is. So it has to be dealt with at each level, everywhere, but vaccinate, and then think through if your amount of supply of vaccines is limited, think through where can you make the biggest difference. And that is usually
identify
where
the
there are dense populations, so to prevent spillover to the rest of
All
the
right.
country.
Professor Peter Pierre, thank you so much for your time. Director of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, thank you for joining us on Left, Right and Center tonight.